Well, good morning. Time kind of slipped up on us this morning. It's time to get started. Welcome to Clay Fellowship Church. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It is good to be here with my church family. For those of you who are watching on Facebook, it's good to have you with us this morning. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 4. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell all of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Brother Fred, would you open us in prayer this morning?
Yes. Holy God, we come to you today, Lord, and just want to praise your name. Let's lift up the name of Jesus, Lord, today, and thank him for all that he's done for us. Lord, we love you, and we're just so thankful to be in the family of God, be your child. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do to make my life what it is. Lord, I lift up our church today to you. Lord, may we come to this place and offer you ourselves this morning to grow in your grace and your knowledge, to be the people of God that you want us to be. Lord, may your Holy Spirit come today. May he speak to us. And Lord, may we listen and do what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart today, may they all be acceptable in your sight. Because you are our rock and you are our Redeemer. Let us now join with Stacy as she leads us in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning I was looking for verses and just thinking about our first hymn that we're going to sing. And this is where I was led. We see in Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth. He formed man, planted a garden where he put the man he had formed, and the man was to work and take care of his garden. The Lord formed out of the ground all the wild animals and the birds in the sky and brought them to Adam for Adam to name them. Then he created woman from Adam's rib, and there she lived with him in the garden. Then, of course, we see the serpent entered the picture, and the deception that came from that. And then we see the original sin. And then next in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 9, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them and called to the man, "Where are you?" So what I'm seeing from this story and what hit me this morning is God was in the garden with Adam and Eve. And it wasn't the first time he was in the garden with Adam and Eve. He was there. He brought the animals he created to Adam. They knew the sound of his voice. They knew the sound of his walking through the garden. They knew him. It was intimate. It was personal. But since that original sin, the Lord no longer physically walks and talks with us in the garden. But praise be unto him, he does commune with us. He does communicate with us, and that is through prayer. So our first hymn is, you know, y'all know this is one of my favorites, but I wanted this morning to remind us that it is through prayer that we get to walk with him and talk with him and hear his voice. So if you're willing and able, please stand as we sing In the Garden, and let's remember what it's like to walk with our God and to hear his voice. Even though we don't hear it out loud, we hear his voice and he speaks to us. It's hymn number 606. You this morning, that you do walk with us and you talk with us, Lord, that you gave us your spirit so that we could commune with you and we could know your voice and we could know your heart and we could know your mind, Lord, that you didn't leave us, but you are here among us, and we praise you this morning and we love you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So some of you have been bringing your prayer cards and putting them in the basket. That's fine. If you haven't done that, that's okay, because there's going to be a part in the service where Fred's going to ask us to do that. So however they get in the basket, it doesn't matter. But if you didn't get a card and you want one, Cindy's going to walk around. Just raise your hand up and she'll bring you one. Our announcements for this week. Tuesday morning, the breakfast group meets at Jack's in Trustful on Deerfoot Parkway and Highway 11. And that's at 9:30 in the morning. Wednesday night Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. We're studying the book of Daniel. On Sundays, we have Sunday school at 10 a.m. and worship service at 11 here in the Worship Center. I'm going to take a minute to personally thank Cindy for, one, all she does. I've got her walking around doing something now. But for organizing and a lot of prep work and sharing her talents with us yesterday as the ladies gathered together and did a craft day. Yes. We had fun. We messed up. We got it. Cindy fixed it for us, some of us, and just had a good time of fellowship and a good time learning something new and creating something pretty. So thank you, Cindy. We appreciate that and look forward to more to come. And we'll help you. You're not alone. So I appreciate that, and I think everybody had a good time. Coming up next Saturday, y'all, next Saturday. Yeah, next Saturday is our fall festival, the 26th. And Jane wanted to say something about that. So. Friday night to come put the bags together about 6:30. Okay. So if you're able to come Friday evening at 6:30 to help get the goodie bags put together, and then the fall festival is from 5 till 8 Saturday, and if you're doing trunk or treat, and get your car here by 4 so we can get you parked and lined up. And okay. Prayer for postal service and yeah. Okay, so coming up Wednesday, October 30th, we're going to have a called administrative board meeting beginning at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. And that's Wednesday, October 30th. Our charge conference will be Wednesday, November the 6th at 6:30. So a lot of stuff coming up. Sunday, November the 10th will be, one, our first harvest Sunday for the food pantry Thanksgiving meals. And it's also the day before Veterans Day, and we are going to celebrate Veterans Day here on that Sunday, the 10th. We're going to have a guest speaker, Richard Marsh, from Three Hots and a Cot, sharing with us for a little bit of what Three Hots and a Cot does for our veterans. Also coming up the weekend of November the 1st is the Women's Conference from the Cowboy Church in Aniana. The conference is named Walk Worthy. There are some flyers on the back if you're interested. Let's see. Coming up November 7th through the 10th is an epiphany at, it's a Vaca Epiphany. Is it at Altauga? Oh, okay. Vaca and Roebuck. Okay. Julia and the group are going to be in that. They have a prayer vigil list on the back information table for you to sign up. Julia was also kind enough to put little cards for you to write your times you sign up with, because we all forget, or I forget from the minute I sign something to I walk away. We need to be in prayer. I know the Epiphany group bathes these events in prayer, but you know what? There's never too much prayer. Be in prayer for these young people who have found themselves in bad situations, that they see the love of God this weekend. Game night will be November the 15th. So that's coming up in a month. Operation Christmas Child Collection Week is the third week of November. We do have the boxes set up. We have some already put together you can take, or if you want to just grab some that aren't folded, you can take them that way. I realize this year we have people that haven't been here with us before who may not be familiar with Samaritan's Purse and the Christmas Operation Christmas Child. Yeah. There is literature on the back on the back table with the boxes about Samaritan's Purse, about Operation Christmas Child. There's a pamphlet on what to put in your box, how to pack your box. They don't want candy or liquids or anything like that. I will be showing some videos from Samaritan's Purse that talk more about what it is and what they do. But we have supported this for many years. It's one of my personal favorites. It's just showing God's love throughout the world to people who may not have even been exposed to God's love or to know who God is. Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child can get into places in the world that Christians can't. So I hope in Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse is Franklin Graham. It's Billy Graham's son. And they do a lot of work. I recommend you go to their website and learn more about them. So we'll have more information about that. But the boxes are out if you want to go ahead and grab yours today. Also, too, Cindy and I are not opposed to shopping for you if you're not able to get out and do that. I was thinking today, I think I've already got a bunch of extra stuff. If you're interested and would like somebody to do your shopping for you, just let me or Cindy know. Let's see. So we'll have Harvest Sunday, November the 10th, for the Thanksgiving boxes. But we'll also have another Harvest Sunday on December the 8th for the Christmas boxes. The list of items we provide in the boxes is back on the back information table if you want to pick up, so you'll know what to buy. Also, too, we provide a ham and a turkey, or a turkey and a ham, I guess, first Thanksgiving. Okay. Out on Fridays via email. If you would like to add anything to it, anything to the prayer list, or have Cindy make any changes, just let her know. If you need to be on the email list, just let Cindy know, or you can email clayfellowship@gmail.com. And did I say that right? clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com. Our next hymn this morning is one I've always, I tell y'all this every hymn, every song, but I've always loved this song because it always reminds me to stop and to know that it is God and it is not me. Psalm 46, 7, 8. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. The New American Standard Bible version of this verse says, stop striving and know that I am God. Well, you know how you know what a word means, but then you're like, how do I explain that? So I looked up the definition. Striving. Make great efforts to achieve or obtain something. Struggle or fight vigorously. And that added more to me for me this morning of not just be still. Quit trying to do it myself. It's not me, it's God. Put it in His hands. We are helpless without Him. Our striving, our struggling, I don't know about you, but I know for me, gets me nowhere except for frustrated, angry. Be still and know that I am God.
To see everybody today. What a wonderful day it is to be in God's house with His power, through the power of His Holy Spirit, to be His people in this place, to do His work, to share the gospel with those around us. I want to start off this morning with a scripture from James. It's not our text scripture, but it's a scripture that we need to at least to keep in mind. It's a jumping off place, as they say. James 5:16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed." And this is a verse you hear so often. The effective or effectual, as King James says, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You believe that this morning? Say amen. Amen. And we're going to have a time to do this. Some of you already put your prayer request in the basket, but we're going to come to the altar today. And we're going to do this. We're going to confess our sin. We're going to pray. And then we're going to place our request. We're going to pray for those requests too. So, prayer changes things. Amen? Prayer changes things. Today we're gathered to worship God, to spend time in praise of our Savior and our Lord, and also to pray, to ask God to change things in our lives, in our families, in our communities, even right here in our church. And we want to change things in our country, don't we? We want to see things going in a different direction. And we know we need to pray for our world. Our world that's in war and chaos. Our world that's seems like there's hate everywhere. People, even in families, hate each other. The violence that we see in our cities, hate. And we need a change. We're especially, during these 40 days, praying for an anointing. An anointing from God so that we may better serve Him. We're praying also for an outpouring of His Spirit on us and allow that outpouring to go through us. Through the power of His Holy Spirit to come against evil in this world. As we live our lives. You know, Paul said, be in the world, but not of the world. Today, we're talking about seeing His face. Do you remember how Jesus trained us? How He gave us instruction? In Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said these words, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks shall receive. And everyone who seeks, we're going to find. And everyone who knocks, that door will be open to you." Do you believe these words this morning? A little louder. Amen. Now, our scripture text for today is actually in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Oh, I love Paul. He says it like it is, don't he? He says in that scripture, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." He don't stop there. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord." God. The Apostle Paul is telling us that we should pray. You should make those requests known to God. But he says there's a caveat to that. First, he's telling us, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. This is step one. There's no need to go to step two if you hadn't followed step one. You know, it's not like a set of instructions that you get when you buy something. If you're like me, you don't read the instructions. And I always wind up with extra pieces or parts. That instructions, it says, you know, this part goes here and then you do that. Well, God's instructions are kind of like that too. There's a specific way for us to pray. A specific ritual for us. We prayed one of the prayers when the disciples said, you know, "Teach us, Lord, to pray." And we prayed that prayer this morning. It's important that we follow God's instructions. If you want our desired results, if you want things to happen, if you want that statement of prayer changes things to really happen. If you don't follow God's instructions, there's no need to start blaming God for things not happening, for results to not happen when you pray. Just go back to the Word of God and find out where you missed it. You see, an anxious heart will not be able to receive the promises of God. Be anxious for nothing. Do not have any anxiety about anything. Then you can make your request to God. Then you can have the desires of your heart made. Then you can have peace of mind and heart. Oh, we need to live in the authority of God's Word. Stacy, the Lord's Spirit, it's just amazing how He leads us when we're... I don't talk to her about my sermon much. I give her a title. But the song we just sung comes from Psalms 47. And David says, be still and know that I am God. Be at peace with yourself. And the way you can be peace with yourself is confess your sins before Him. Make it right with you. And then also to be still and be at peace with your Maker, with your Creator, with God. You may be in your mind right now, you may be asking, well, Brother Fred, what does this have to do with my request? We see, if we're going to desire results, results of our praying, we need to do it according to God's will. And I guess you could just take this from it. If you don't have God's peace, if you're not at peace in yourself, if that relationship is not right, don't expect to receive what you ask for. First of all, you're to go to God with confidence, with the assurity that God hears and God answers prayer. And you get this way. You come to this way of thinking and being and living by continually being in the Word of God and keeping His commandments. Keep those promises of God before you, and that's going to give you an assurance of who God is and what He can do for you. If you don't have that peace, you need to check and see if you're following this first step. Let me point out that this is not you abide in me and my words abide in you. These holy words. You will ask what you desire. And get this, folks. Jesus said, it shall be done. That's why we can go to God in confidence. Because His Word says so. You see, Jesus, He's a master teacher. But He's always simplistic. He's simple and direct with His instructions. We must abide in Him. Jesus this morning is saying, abide in me. Live in me. Then step three happens. Ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Paul said something very similar. I wonder why. To what Jesus said. Paul says, you see, the words of God always, they flow together. You're not going to have anxiety if you're doing what Jesus said. If you're abiding in Jesus and His words abide in your heart, then you're going to the Father in prayer. Anxiety free. Folks, the end result is going to be that peace. That peace of God. It's going to keep your heart and mind, Jesus said. I want to point out something else this morning for us as we're talking about Scripture. Jesus said to you, ask what you desire. Think about that. He did not just say, ask what you need. I like it. But ask what you desire. I remember reading this years ago and I just sat back and said, wow, what a God we have. God wants to bless us abundantly beyond our imaginations. That's why He wants to hear us. That's why He wants us to pray to Him. Tell Him those desires of your heart. Now, I know that may sound redundant to you, because we know that God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. But God wants us to ask. Ask Him. Don't forget, ask and it shall be given to you. Then, folks, got one of those if-then statements, don't we? If we do this, then. The desires that you petitioned, that you brought to God, are going to be given to you. Now, let me say, I'm confused, Pastor. You preached to me before that we should only pray in the will of God. That's correct. That's right. That's what the Scripture says. But you see, your heart's desires, if you're abiding in Christ, will be in the will of God. See the difference? If you've got a carnal heart, you're not in the will of God. If your heart is in the world, you're not in the will of God. You're not abiding in Him. You won't have to worry about asking the wrong things if you're in Jesus. You'll be full of God's Word, and nothing in your heart is going to be against the will of God. When you're praying this way, your prayer is definitely in the will of God. Prayer is another way of saying that you are processing. You are being, you're living in the will of God. You're working, you're striving, you're growing in the will of God. You may ask, why do I have to ask? If it is already God's will. Won't it just happen? Won't it just come to pass? Well, folks, the answer is no. We must ask. God didn't create robots that He controls. He gave us a wonderful, beautiful mind and intellect. And God wants you to use it. You're free. He's giving you that freedom. And today, right this moment, God's listening. He's waiting for you to ask, because He's a loving God and He wants to give you your heart's desires. The brother of Jesus, James, said this: you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. That kind of person is not abiding in God. Because when you get beyond wanting yourself to be blessed and get to the point that you want others to be blessed, then your heart is getting right with God. If you are abiding in God's will, you're not going to ask anything amiss. That's what James is saying. But over in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, look at verse 23. And Jesus says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you." Are you praying in the name of Jesus? Until now, Jesus says, you have asked nothing in my name. And again, listen to these words of Jesus: ask and you receive, that your joy will be full. Isn't that something? Peace is an end result of prayer. But here, Jesus is saying, we're to ask so that our joy will be full. God wants you to be happy in Him. You ever considered that? Thought about it. God wants you to have peace, but He also wants you to have joy. And right here is the instruction manual. In this instruction manual, He tells us how we can walk in this peace and joy. You got to ask. We have not because we ask not. You can put it in a personal way and say, we have because we ask. That's the opposite, right, of that. If I ask, I have it. God wants us to have joy, peace. He wants to fulfill the desires of our hearts. God wants everything good. Remember? God is the giver of all things that are good. That sounds pretty good to me. He's a loving God. Sometimes we miss God by praying the wrong way. We miss an opportunity. There's many different types of prayers mentioned in the Bible. Now, no one of these, no single prayer in this beautiful word we have is always the right prayer to pray in our certain situation. I guess maybe say in our different situations. You know, there's the prayer of faith we talked about that lost people can pray. But there's also a prayer of intercession. We can pray for others. That prayer of faith is a prayer of salvation. We can pray prayers of consecration. See a lot of that in the Word. Consecrate ourselves, consecrate our lives, consecrate our families to God. There's all a lot of examples of when God's people sin. And examples of prayers of repentance. Father, I'm sorry that I sinned against you. But folks, we don't need, don't go to the point, we don't need to get saved again and again and again. It's a one-time deal. We do, however, need to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Probably do it often. Sometimes we need to just set aside a time for what they used to do, prayer and fasting, in order for these things to take place. Luke in the book of Acts gives us an example. Luke says in chapter 13, verse 1, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there was certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." Did you see the conditions in which the Holy Spirit spoke? Fasting, praying, worshiping God. You see, they were given a clear direction of what God wants them to do, of their calling. And because of that prayer and fasting, they were anointed. Anointed to accomplish what the Lord had sent them to do. Now, Barnabas and Saul were already very accomplished preachers of the Word. They could have been satisfied with where they were. But God had more for them. And folks, He has more for you and me. In chapter 14, when it was talking about them, it calls them apostles. Up until then, they've just been called prophets and teachers. You see, even Paul didn't start out an apostle. Where did I get that word? Remember, he followed the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He wanted to fulfill that perfect will of God in his life. And he fasted. And these folks in Acts chapter, they did the same thing. They fasted and they prayed. They worshiped God with all their hearts. What did that happen? What happened then? God gave them a direction. And He can do that for us. Have you ever stopped to consider what would have happened to Paul and Barnabas if they had not waited on the Lord? If they had not sought Him and His will. You see, every one of us, we've got a role to play. God puts together magnificently, miraculously, a people. Each one of you has talents. Each one of you has abilities. And you're here because of that. You come together. Things don't just happen by accident. You are in this church for a purpose. But folks, we don't just step into the perfect will of God. It comes with a cost to us. We have to give of ourselves. Paul and Barnabas would have not received their apostleship. They never would have had hands laid on them. They never would have received the anointing. They would have never fulfilled the perfect will of God in their life had they not waited on the Lord, spent time in prayer and fasting. But they did. And God equipped them. God anointed them to fulfill His purpose. And all that happened during and because of that time that they spent on their knees, fasting, seeking God, worshiping, making themselves available to be used of God, consecrated. They consecrated themselves to the Lord. Now, the calling was already there. God's calling is on your life already. He knows what He wants you to do. But we have to put ourselves into a place where we can receive that calling and understand it and be empowered to do the will of God. That's the reason we're praying these 40 days. God, show me Your will. God, anoint me with Your power. And let the outpouring of Your Spirit to me go out to others. And we know Paul, he went on to fulfill God's calling. Two-thirds of the New Testament was written by the inspiration of God, Holy Spirit, to Paul. So many times we miss God. We miss a blessing. We miss the joy because we haven't prayed. We haven't prayed to God. 1 John, which we studied over the last few weeks, if you remember, he says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, those words are written to us, to Christians. They weren't written to the world. Because the world doesn't have fellowship with God at all. Broken fellowship, the end result of that is sin. But repentance, confession, can restore that broken fellowship. Or another way of putting it, it can restore our communion with God. No, we have communion with God. We're intimate with Him. You go and say, when you have a broken spirit, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sins. Help me make things right. Will You restore me, Lord, to that fellowship? such an important part of our Christian walk. Paul said in Ephesians 4:25, therefore put away lying. Each one speak the truth to his neighbor. For we are members of one another. We need to be together. That's the reason he says, be angry and sin not. Some churches need to hear that, don't they? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to evil. You see, our heart's got to be right when we come to the Lord in prayer. This will open the doors of heaven to us. But if sin is in our lives, it opens the door to the devil. And he can come in and play with our minds and with our actions. Keep the door, Paul says, shut. He's a liar. Don't give him any place in your heart. So, the instructions are, we must ask, we must abide in Him, and we must rid ourselves of sin. Perfect example of that is found in 2 Chronicles. No, 1 Chronicles. No, 2 Chronicles. 7:14. Familiar verse to all of us. And it's a verse that we need to think about with this election coming up. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, listen now, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and it doesn't end there, and turn from their wicked ways. Those are things that need to be done. But he says, if you do accomplish those, it says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive your sin and will heal your land. Conditions for prayer. This morning, I ask you to bring your prayer concerns, your prayer desires of your heart today. And what we're going to do today is I'm going to invite you to come in just one moment. Come to the altar and pray. Confess your sin before God. And after you've prayed, drop your prayer request in the basket. But first, we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing a song written and based on this scripture. It's called, If My People. Let's sing together.
It's hymn 627 in the hymnal, and the words will be on the screen. Please stand if you're willing and able.
Then will I hear from heaven.
this morning, I want you to join me at this altar today. If you can't bow down, at least come and stand. If you can't stand, come and sit in one of the front seats. I want you to confess your sin today. I want you to be at peace, no anxiety. Because God says, then I hear you and I'll answer your prayer. Come, let us pray. And after you prayed, come and place your request in the basket. And Cindy's going to give you a cross to carry with you, to keep with you as a reminder. We need to pray like Daniel. We need to pray every day and come to Him often. Let's pray. We come to You this morning, Lord, confessing our sin before. Oh Lord, hear us today. Lord, we're sorry for sins we've committed. We're sorry, Lord, to You for things we didn't do that You wanted us to do. Lord, help us to hear Your voice today. Lord, we bow before You. We confess our sins before You. Lord, we want to have confidence in You. Restore a right spirit in our hearts today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God, that You forgive us. Oh Lord, bless this church. Help us to be the light to this world. Oh Lord, meet the desires of our heart today. We desire to follow You, to do Your will. Thank You, Jesus, for being such a loving God. Oh Lord, thank You today. Amen and amen. Oh, sing with me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. What does He say? He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Oh, I love to see you when you hug each other. I love that. You're such a loving church. Thank You for being that way. Father, Lord, we have come to You. We've met Your conditions. We have prayed. We have ask forgiveness. We've repented of our sin. And Lord, now we've asked. Lord, hear our prayer today. Lord, give us the desires of our heart that we've written down, Lord, to You that are in this basket today. Lord, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, through the anointing of Your Holy Spirit, give us the desires of our heart In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Go in that love today. See you on Wednesday.